Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew, and I am here with Jonathan, a stupid awesome analyst.
Hello.
And, of course, in the back seat, we have the anime noob, Christine.
Hello.
She's here joining us. Actually, as you can hear, you may hear the GPS interrupt.
GPS-sama, my car waifu.
And not really, because TomTom is annoying. We are on our way to New Hampshire while this great podcast is happening.
Yeah.
So if you hear the buzz of the car or the yelling of the GPS telling us which way to go, that's what's happening.
We have such a big season of anime going on right now that for this episode, once again, we are going to be discussing the new season of anime because it is so huge that we could not even fit it into one episode like the last one because we hadn't even watched everything yet.
Yeah, and now that we have seen more things, we can give you guys a better idea of what it is. Plus, we have all of our little news stories, but not too much. It's mostly going to be talking about, like, just a car ride discussion about anime this season.
There wasn't a lot of news to begin with, but let's ring the news bell.
News.
Shut up, Tom.
News.
Okay, so what do we have first up in news? What's the first headline that I wrote? You have my phone because I'm driving.
Yeah, so first up in media news, we have, oh my gosh.
Don't text and drive.
The earthquake in Japan.
Yeah, that's right. There was a 7.0 earthquake that hit Japan in this past week from what we were recording.
And that was more of this one was the southern part of Japan.
Yeah, but the aftershocks were so bad, they're still happening. Did you know that?
No.
And thus far, there have been 42 people declared dead in it. But
yeah, it's pretty bad.
I can't believe the natural disasters that are hitting Japan. Like, it's just happening so frequently now.
Well, there was another earthquake almost at the exact same time.
That's what they're saying about this whole thing is that, like, because Japan, their land masses are so beautiful, but that's the price that you pay for things like natural hot springs and volcanoes and stuff like that, is you get earthquakes and tectonic plate shifts all the time.
Yeah.
There was the story that I had seen about this facility. I forget what the facility was, but it had moved like an entire 3 meters from the earthquake alone. And there was this shift in the earth that there was like a whole section that moved down.
Wow.
And you needed to get there. The road was completely closed. It was a highway road, and it had shifted down an entire meter and 3 meters apart. And in order to get into it, the workers needed to use a ladder to get into the gap.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk about that anymore. That's kind of depressing.
Kind of depressing, but that's why we talk about it first, so we can lift your spirits!
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell whitewashing. What's happening with that?
Well, there's this whole new trend about whitewashing in movies that everybody's so up in arms about. I mean, we heard about it at the last Oscars when people were protesting the fact that there were no black actors, you know, that were nominated that year. No Asian actors had, like, ever been nominated. And now we have movies that are casting, like, Hollywood movies casting non-Asian actors to play possibly Asian roles. Like, in the Doctor Strange trailer, when we have the person who taught Doctor Strange all of his techniques was, like, this old sage Fu Manchu-bearing some sort of Asian, maybe Chinese, I don't know. But now it's a white actress. An actress who is white playing an Asian role.
Interesting.
Like, and it's a monk sage sort of character. But the big one that caught our eye that started the whole trend was Scarlett Johansson. We got the first screenshot of her as Major Motoko Kusanagi.
Yeah.
That's odd.
It is. It's really bizarre. I mean, the screenshot looked, to me, like, we had a really split, like, our fans saw it, and our fans were really split on it. We had people saying it looks awful,
Like, this is going to be so bad of a movie.
And I don't some think people she saying, looks like, bad as Major Makoto.
See, it looked okay. Like, I was so on the fence about it that because I just don't think the movie should be happening to begin with.
Yeah, no, I agree. But even still, though, there's the continuing, the follow-up article talking about the creator of Ghost in the Shell himself.
Sam Yoshida.
And he was saying that when they were discussing a Ghost in the Shell live-action movie, they had never even considered an Asian person in the role to begin with. And that's the creator of the show themselves.
Yeah, so he supports Scarlett Johansson as a choice for the cast. That's interesting.
Yeah, he supports a white actress playing the role. So it's like, how do you even argue with that? If somebody was to pitch Ghost in the Shell, they were like, no, we don't want an Asian actress.
This is true. I didn't even know that. That is, like, really interesting. I had no idea.
Yep.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, that makes everybody's whine crybaby arguments,
like, completely
moot. Inert.
Yeah, it's, wow. That, like, changes my whole...
This guy has a really loud truck.
Go away. Go away. But moving on from that, we have China and Japan in a bidding war over the rights to Pokemon.
Yes. That was huge.
I almost feel like that should be strange news.
Yeah.
It's like a strange gaming media news.
I posted that article on our Facebook page because it was just, it shocked me. Like, I am flabbergasted that the licensing agreement to Pokemon is up for grabs and China, like a Chinese distribution company, is bidding for it. Like, how is Nintendo even allowing that to happen?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't really know that much on the topic of it, but it's a real thing that's happening. And there's no result yet, but I'm sure we'll let you know as soon as we find out, because that's huge.
See, I saw this article being posted around places, but I never read it, so I didn't really know what it was actually even talking. I knew it involved China and Pokemon somehow. Yeah. But I was like, is there going to be a Chinese Pokemon, but it's for bidding rights?
There's a lot of things up for debate right now, and you guys, if you know anything, you listeners, let us know. Send us an email. What do you think of, 1A, whitewashing, and 2B, Pokemon going to China, maybe?
Except for the Ghost in the Shell whitewashing. Apparently that's over and done with seeing that Sam
Hollywood
Yoshida.
Hollywood whitewashing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Hollywood whitewashing, yeah. But Sam Yoshida, like, was just like, Scarlett Johansson, yes. So,
right.
You can't really argue that anymore.
Remember when the whitewashing thing started? And the first time I really saw an impact of it was when Frozen came out. And people were like, there's no black Disney princesses.
Which there are.
Which there are.
They're all white.
Yeah, and the people who were complaining about it didn't know that it was originally, a Swedish or a Dutch tale?
Norwegian.
Norwegian, okay.
The Ice Queen, I believe. The Ice Queen is like a Norwegian tale.
So are they saying quit whitewashing our black metal?
What? that's Swedish. Anyway.
Netherlands, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's just really funny because, you know, you go in and it's like, well, what about... You know, Princess and the Frog, that was a black Disney princess. You have Mulan, that was an Asian princess. And have you ever been to Norway? There's no black people
there's
there.
There's no diversity.
They're all blonde hair, white people, and really tall and very scary. Maybe not, I don't know. I've never been, but...
Black metal, scary.
And again, Swedish. Anyway, we don't have any gaming news.
No.
Other than Senran Kagura is still fun.
Yeah, I really wanted to, for gaming news actually, I really wanted to get on to the Overwatch beta, which I didn't. And I'm really hoping that I can get on to the open beta that's coming out in a couple weeks, but that's happening at the same time that Baby Metal is happening. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's a busy weekend.
Yeah, so 2 weeks by our next recording weekend.
Our next episode, the episode after this one, you will hear us talk about our Baby Metal experience. And I think we're going to...
Awesome.
I think we're going to have Evan from the Boston Batch Brigade on that episode, because he's coming with us.
I would sure hope so. But the concert's on Thursday, so that's when the episode's being released. Or this episode. This episode you're hearing right now, we're going to be at the Baby Metal concert.
Yeah.
Ha! That's awesome! Moving on, we have some strange news. And this actually comes... This is a little bit of fan service. This comes from our fan... Wicked fan, Mike. And Mike sent us over the story of a chimpanzee from a Japanese zoo broke free. It escaped. There was a whole Alcatraz thing going on. They were chasing this chimpanzee through the...
Alcatraz thing? What do you mean?
What?
What you're referring to is, like, a huge escape movie that involved digging tunnels and stuff like that. Did a monkey dig a tunnel?
No, it just escaped.
Oh. I was really hoping that a monkey would dig a tunnel.
Anyway, so Mike sends us this news article, and believe it or not, the same day he sent me this news article, I saw it on international news.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it on the local news station. They were talking about it. And I don't know why a chimpanzee breaking out of a Japanese zoo would make international headlines, but it was on NBC, Fox, CNN, all these kinds of things. It was really bizarre.
I want to see a movie in Japan come out. It's almost going to be like a buddy animal movie where a cop is chasing after a monkey starring Pete Takeshi. It's going to come out of the story. Just watch. I'm calling it now. You heard it here first, folks.
They have the same video everywhere. The same video footage is from the Japanese news thing. But it's the chimpanzee is climbing on the power lines, right?
Yeah, get your simians right.
Yeah, so it's all like a residential neighborhood climbing on the power lines. There's like tons of people there. And they're capturing it, and they're shooting it with a tranquilizer gun. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't.
You haven't? It's just like...
Is it similar to the video where they shoot the bear out of the tree?
Maybe. It just, like, cascades out of the sky, like, whoa! Like, just... Oh, and then they caught it, like, in a net, but it, like, not before hitting a few, like, telephone poles on the way down. You hear, like, and...
We'll post that video in the description.
Yeah, you can find it. The news article I saw... When I was watching our local news station, they were watching it, and they were like, in a Japanese kind of, this chimpanzee made it, as it fell off the, it's like, oh my gosh.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, so,
I'm sure he's fine. He's probably not, he went Super Saiyan, and
I don't know. Anyway, that's it, that's all we have. We don't have a lot of news, but I suppose that's a good thing because we have a bunch of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, first off, let's take a trip into the West.
Wow, into the West. Woo!
Hey, Christine, what are you watching?
You want to talk into the West?
I haven't been watching any animated series. I've been watching Netflix series, though.
Oh, yeah?
Does that count?
That's why I asked you.
I've been watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, if I can get the name right.
And that's written by...
Tina Fey.
Written by Tina Fey. It's Ellie Kemper is the lead actress. She plays Kimmy Schmidt. It's about a story of four women who were called the Mole Women and were hidden underground. Uh-huh. And it's the story of how she only has an 8th grade education and goes out into the wild city of New York to live her life as a new free woman. I highly recommend it. It's definitely a fast-paced comedy.
I would hope it would be comedy.
It's got John Hamm.
Oh, it does?
It does have John Hamm.
It has John Hamm in it?
John Hamm is the reverend who kidnaps everyone.
Oh my gosh, I gotta watch this.
Yes, I highly recommend it.
Well, it's written by Tina Fey. I would imagine it's really funny.
Yeah, so here's the thing about the history between Tina Fey and John Hamm.
Oh, John, yeah. Do you
John
know this?
Hamm,
I do know that.
John Hamm was supposed to be in Alec Baldwin's role in 30 Rock.
Yes.
Because John Hamm sees himself more as a comedy actor than he does a drama role. However, he picked up Mad Men instead of 30 Rock. And now John Hamm has appeared in 30 Rock multiple times, and he's been the funniest role in it.
It's because, and it's simply because Tina Fey and John Hamm are best friends.
And I feel like that this role in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is his agreement to turning down Tina Fey's offer to play in 30 Rock.
Yeah. Now, is Tina Fey in it, or is she just
the
writer?
Tina Fey is in it.
Okay.
She plays a psychiatrist later on in the series. But I finished the two seasons that are currently available. It's a very quick series. It's about, each episode's about a half an hour, but there's only 13 episodes per season.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know when the next season will be available. The second season was just released.
Wow, I gotta watch this.
It's a fantastic show. I mean, there are definitely mixed reviews among people. I think the humor is definitely something where you need to understand the sarcasm that's throughout it.
Is it like 30 Rock? Humor,
it's very 30 Rock-esque. I'd say it's 30 Rock, SNL, very very quick wit. It's also, there's a couple of people in it that were in Arrested Development.
Oh, no way.
So that type of humor is there.
Oh my gosh, I have to watch this show. Why didn't you tell me about this sooner, Christine?
Because I just discovered it earlier last week. So let's put it this way. I am somebody that doesn't really watch TV, and I watch the two seasons in a week.
Christine, thank you for giving us our Into the West.
Yes, thank you for Into the West today.
You're welcome. Speaking of a Western-type show, there's another show on Netflix called The Ranch. It's basically a revival of the cast from that 70s show.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
I mean, my early college self loved that 70s show. My mid-20s self wants to know why I wasted so much time on that show.
Watching that 70s show.
It's actually kind of true, isn't it? I feel the same because we watched that 70s show in high school.
And,
like every day. Every day there's like two episodes on in a row, and we'd watch that 70s show, and now I'm just like, okay.
On other news, though, I know Evan from Boston Bachelor Brigade will shoot me for saying this, but I loved Fuller House. That is the end of my segment.
Oh, speaking of Westerns, though, just really quick on this topic. Did you guys see the trailer for The Magnificent Seven?
I did not.
No. With Chris Pratt?
Yeah, okay, so it's Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt are, like, the two leads out of there. But, okay, so the first trailer got dropped the other day.
It did?
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
So, if, for those of you who don't know The Magnificent Seven, it's a Western version of...
Samurai Seven.
Seven Samurai. Samurai Seven's an anime. Seven Samurai. The trailer got dropped, and it's all about Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt's character... And then it's just like, and the other seven! Like, so they're definitely...
Other five?
Oh, yeah, right.
Or seven.
No, the other five. So they're definitely aiming this towards the Chris Pratt is awesome / Guardians of the Galaxy audience, you know, plus Denzel Washington because he's a big name.
Yep. The original Magnificent Seven is on Amazon. It's on Amazon for free.
Is it really?
Seven Samurai is not. You will never be able to find Seven Samurai for free.
Which
ever.
Sucks, but it's... we bought our cousin the Criterion Collection.
The Criterion Collection is, like, the only one that you can find of Seven Samurai, and it's, like, $40.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because it's one of the greatest movies
ever made. It's one of the greatest movies ever made. Top 250 of all time. You know how many movies are out there? Hundreds. Literally hundreds, and it's in the top 250.
So anyway, this trailer, goes with Denzel Washington, and then he goes and gets Chris Pratt, and then all of a sudden you're just like, bam, 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 like, literally it does, like, the trailer, doom, 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 and, like, that's how fast it shows the other members of the Seven. and you don't even know who they are. I mean...
Are they famous actors?
I'm sure they've been in stuff before, but the trailer goes so fast and shows so little of them.
Is it a teaser trailer?
No, it was the theatrical drop. But it's just so much Denzel and Chris Pratt. And the movie, you can definitely tell, because Chris Pratt is in it, it's going to be PG-13, but the violence looks like it should be rated R.
No, Chris Pratt most certainly could act in a rated R movie.
Yeah, he could, but he's not going to, because Chris Pratt is that PG-13 action star, that's the audience we're going for actor. So moving on from that, now that... We've gone, actually, like, out of the West. We went into the West, literally, in that discussion.
I do have something else for Into the West. We saw Hardcore Henry.
We did see Hardcore Henry. Oh, we didn't get to, we didn't discuss that on the last episode? No. I thought we did.
Did we? I don't think so.
I don't think we did. Anyway, if we didn't, I'm gonna, this, if this is the second time we're talking about it, we're talking about it again to you guys. You have
it's
to see Hardcore Henry.
Bad.
It was a lot of fun. I can understand why a lot of people are hating it, because it's senseless and has no story and is just straight action that elevates from beginning to end. But if you go in understanding that this is an Indiegogo-funded movie that was based off of a music video on Facebook using a GoPro and a parkour artist, you will understand Hardcore Henry.
The only thing about the movie that left a bad taste in my mouth is the producer. Timur Brekkum, what's his face?
Who has literally made all of the worst movies you've ever seen.
Yeah, he directed Wanted, he directed Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Before that, he directed some of the worst movies I've seen in my entire life, Daywatch and Nightwatch.
Yeah. He does really good action, but when action's not happening, his movies are just garbage.
Yeah, which there were no action scenes in the Daywatch and Nightwatch movies.
But however, there were, but Hardcore Henry is one straight action scene.
It's all action.
But he's just the producer. He's not the director. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. Because, yeah, when the movie started, we saw his name pop up, and we were both like, oh, no. And his name pops up twice in the opening credits, both producer credits, I believe.
They wanted to be sure that you were going to hate this movie. Can we finally leave Into the West now?
Yes, I believe we can.
That Into the West took so long that the horse is hungry again.
Woo! Anyway.
That's a sound effect joke.
Okay.
After 200 yards, keep right.
Yeah, so you have a Let Statistics for us.
Yeah, and I found it based on the same article, the whitewashing article.
Really?
Yeah, it's a statistic based off of a poll that Anime News Network did, polling their fans, asking, how do you feel about whitewashing? Do you go see a movie based on the actors in it?
How many whitewash actors will you go see in a movie? If it's 100% whitewash, is that better or worse?
Yeah, so I have the statistics down there if you want to read them. Let's say that you go to a movie and you... let's say that when the Ghost in the Shell movie is released, they're going to... how many people are actually going to go see it? Well, 52% of people said, I'm just going to go see the movie because, A, it's Ghost in the Shell, and I don't care who's in it. I'm just going to go see it anyways to support the fact that it's Ghost in the Shell, because if we watch more anime movies, we're going to get more of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it anyway.
You're going to go see it, and then you're going to find out whether or not it's good. 52% of people agree with you.
See, I like Scarlett Johansson as a person, but not as much as an actress. But that's just because I think they gave her some really crappy roles.
Yeah, they really have in the past.
So I'm willing to go see Scarlett Johansson play Major Motoko. I mean, I freaking love Ghost in the Shell. Why wouldn't I go see it? I love Cyberpunk everything. Why wouldn't I go see it? Right?
Right.
So, yeah.
So you're within that 52%. You're going to go see the movie and just focus on it as a movie, not as a Ghost in the Shell whitewash.
And beat Takeshi's in it.
Yes.
So that is great.
So 18.9% of people within this poll said that they won't see it because it's whitewashed.
And
that's actually a surprisingly low number to me. Only 18%?
Yeah, I suppose. And then 18.8% stated that they would see the film and support... to support Hollywood adaptions of anime and manga,
okay.
Which is what we were kind of talking
about. So that's a part of the 50% that I was talking about. Maybe I misunderstood it. So 18% of people said, I'm going to go see the movie just so I can get more anime-adapted movies later on.
Yeah, because if we make this anime-adapted movie, maybe we'll eventually see Cowboy Bebop. Which sucks, because Keanu Reeves freaking said that he wouldn't play Spike anymore because he's too old.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, because Spike really doesn't have an age, and... Freaking John Wick!
I know.
It was awesome!
We've had this discussion before. Right before Anime Boston, we've had this discussion before.
Yeah, so... Make more... I don't know. I have to see Ghost in the Shell before I agree with the statement I want to see more anime and manga-based movies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when Akira was coming out...
People are just going to be complaining about how it's whitewashed. That's all there is to it.
And you know kind of how... I kind of feel like we're in that age, back in the 70s, I think it was... When superhero movies were coming out, but they were garbage. You had Captain America and Iron Man and all those 70s, 80s bad... Actually, they had Fantastic Four, too.
Yeah. Superman wasn't bad.
Right, yeah.
The first one, at least.
But you see, those movies were not good, is the thing. And I think that's kind of in the age we are right now, that we're making those movies. So maybe in 30 years... We'll start seeing, all these anime and manga adaption movies being made, and they're really good, the same way Marvel is pumping out amazing movies for their comic books.
That would be awesome, and, in the way that now everybody knows what a superhero movie is, so it doesn't need to be explained anymore, maybe 10 years from now, everybody's going to know what an anime movie is.
Well, and it's kind of happening with Studio Wit. Studio Wit is going nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, Studio Wit is doing whatever.
I just call it Iron Fortress.
Yeah, Iron Fortress. So they're doing that, and that's amazing, but I don't think it's getting as much of a response as Attack on Titan is.
Yeah.
But Iron Fortress is out of this world. We're going to be talking about that later.
We're going to be talking about that right now. We don't have anything else.
No, but here's what I'm saying, though, is that Studio Wit has already done what they did with Attack on Titan and the crowd getting bigger, and now they're doing Star Fox shorts, and everybody knows what Star Fox is, you know?
Yeah, I saw one of those. Are they using hand puppets?
No. It's... they're making like half CG. It's like a 2.5D movie or 2.5D anime.
Okay,
short.
Because I saw one of the shorts, and I could have sworn that they were using the E3 hand puppets that Nintendo.
There was
using.
There was a trailer for it.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's not what it is.
Okay. All right.
So who knows? Maybe within a bunch of time, Studio Wit will go nuts, and maybe all things will go nuts, and then everybody will just know what anime is, and we'll start getting Marvel-grade anime movies. But right now, we're getting, you know, Akira is coming out, and everybody's like, eh, and Cowboy Bebop's like, maybe we'll make it, and Ghost in the Shell's gonna come out and maybe break the mold.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So, and finally, I guess we're moving on to our Tamagotchi, and because our Tamagotchi, once again, is talking about
what
this
we're watching.
Friggin' awesome season of anime.
It's like, this season, I'm watching the most anime I have ever watched since starting Wicked Anime.
Yeah,
back
I am
in 2012.
Too. I am too.
I have never watched this much anime in my entire life.
In one season. That is.
Yeah, in one single season.
Oh man, but that summer season, we have next season coming up too, and that's gonna be nuts.
We're not talking about that, we're talking about the spring season.
So what are we watching?
Well, what's up first on the list?
Okay, we're just gonna go in order?
Yeah, well, I suppose so. It's the order that I watched them in, and the first ones on the list are the ones that I have kept watching, and I have things to say about them.
Ushio and Tora.
Ushio and Tora is continuing to be one of the best
shonens
I've ever seen, and it seems like it's gonna come to a close this season.
I hope so. That would be great. I would see, because back in the 90s when they made that Ushio and Tora OVA, it didn't finish. It was just Ushio and Tora, and then the adventure cut out.
The main bad guy, Hakumen no Mono, is one of the scariest creatures I've seen ever.
It is pretty great.
The way that Hakumen no Mono puts out their dastardly plans is like so creepy and horrifying. And I look forward to everything that they do, because they mess everything up, makes Ushio and Tora look like the bad guys. And
oh, yeah, that's true. This season is adding, like, a whole bunch of new features to the show, too. Like, you're getting all these characters that are being introduced, but it's not messy. They're not, like, adding a bunch of characters in and, like, oh, now there's a new one. You're just kind of like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And then all the character relationships are growing, and it works really well.
The season started off pretty strong and is running pretty... It's running at the same level that it's been. It's not escalating, which is fine because it started off at, like, levels of Erased.
Right. And, I don't agree with that, but it is good.
I do.
Because
I said it.
I know.
There's a dead vulture on the side of the bird.
It's not a vulture. We don't have vultures here. That's just...
It's either a turkey or a hawk.
But that's another thing that they're doing in this season is... the relationships, as far as, not the relationships, the love stories. Like, they kind of were like, oh, there's a love story in the first season.
They only played on it in the first episode, and that's it, so far. There has not been any love story since the first episode.
Right, but it's more apparent in this season.
He's, right, like, Ushio is fighting for love.
Yeah. So, it's, I like that aspect, but there's a really good, quote-unquote, best girl character.
Yeah.
In Ushio and Tora, so... But it's kind of weird, like, Ushio can't run into a female without them falling in love with him.
Yeah.
Friggin' middle schoolers. or is he in high school? I don't know. Anyway, next up on the list is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
And JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, this season, is so...
It's killing it.
Awesome. I love... It has not changed. I still love... JoJo's Bizarre Adventure to no end.
Yeah. Jared the Greek, who's on Scarlet Rhapsody, we've talked about JoJo with him before, and he loves JoJo. Like, through and through, he loves JoJo. But after season 3, it's kind of underwhelming. Like, the fact that, you know, this one only takes place in a town, and there's kind of a bad guy, you know, and it's just more fighting stands. But it's not, like, Dio level. But
Dio is mentioned.
Yeah, he's mentioned, but he's not there anymore.
Right, yeah, he's dead.
However,
we know that there's more Dio characters, or Brando characters, but we...
However, I'm feeling like this is still pretty cool, you know? Yeah, it might not be a threat to the world because it's not Dio Brando, but he's cool. Or this season is cool.
Yeah, no, the fact that you're saying it's underwhelming and, like, it takes place in one town...
is not true.
Yeah, so... The characters are so well done in this show that that's what you go to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure for, is the characters. It's still that same, like, manliness and, like, oh my gosh, it's so action-y, and they relationships are growing and it's weird and, oh, it's, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it other than that it's just one of the coolest shows I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, one of our fans tweeted us, it was Mike, right?
It was Mike, yeah.
Mike tweeted us over the past week and
we had like this huge Twitter conversation with
him. We talked about the Oingo Boingo thing. And the subtitles that Crunchyroll released, which are not, it doesn't, their names well, Oingo and Boingo.
That was the thing, like, yeah, it says, like, on the book, the Oingo Boingo Adventures, and it says, oh, the so-and-so adventures, and yeah. The reason why they do that is, I guess this is a good place to explain that, because he actually legitimately asked us a question, why do they do that?
Yeah.
So the reason why they had to change the subtitles for all the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character names is because they're all based on musicians and references to bands.
Yeah, so like Oingo Boingo is probably the clearest one that they have.
Yeah.
The example that I gave was Jay Giles.
Yeah, like Jay Giles is the Jay Giles or
the Jay Giles band.
Yeah, they you know they sing that song Angel in the Centerfold.
Yeah,
that's it's a good song. Kind of dirty but weird. And weird, but okay. So Jay Giles, they changed his name in the subtitles to Centerfold.
Yep. But clearly, you can hear Joseph Joestar go Jay Giles,
yeah,
but the subtitle says Centerfold.
Yeah. So the question that was asked to us is why did they do that? Like, I don't understand what's going on. Because Mike does not watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which is what's the matter with you? You should be watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Mike. Come on. And. It's because of the licensing.
Yeah.
And like, but I don't know, you just say a name? I don't know.
The reason why I brought that up, though, is because it happened in the new episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure that just came out.
Yeah.
Episode 4, which the person's stand in it is called Bad Company. And they pronounce it Bad Dog Company. Like,
really?
Yeah. But the subtitle calls it Worst Company.
Really?
Which I think is a cooler name.
That is
honestly
a pretty cool name.
They call it Worst Company, and everybody knows what Bad Company is. Like, or there's always been references to it, anyways. Bad Company. Everybody knows Bad Company. I personally know it more to the Battlefield game, Battlefield Bad Company, which was a really fun game. Anyways, I digress. They called it Worst Company, which I thought was just a super cool name.
Yeah.
Almost in the same way that when Weird Al came out with his Michael Jackson only.
Yeah,
CD.
Even worse.
Even worse. Like, it's the same thing.
They also have, they did it with another couple characters. Like, because characters like Speedwagon, which was
Speedwagon
and Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
But those
are arbitrary.
Yeah, see, they didn't have to change those names because they, like, Speedwagon's name wasn't REO Speedwagon.
But I
or
feel
Ronald
the same way about Jay Giles.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. They could have, because the Jay Giles band is spelled J dot, so like initial J, and then Giles, G.
Yeah, Giles was spelled differently.
E-I-L-S, Jay Giles.
Yeah.
But in the anime, it could have been J, J-A-Y, and then Giles spelled like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
It would have fixed it.
But that's why they do it, is because, you know, when, some are arbitrary, some are not, and the ones that they can get away with, they obviously get away with, and the ones they don't, they have to change, because they changed Steely Dan's name, too.
Yeah.
Steely Dan was in
well,
it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. They didn't change Dio's name, though, and Dio is the name of that band, but
yeah.
That's because it's a name, like, Dio is a name. Anyway.
I think that's kind of in the same way that if suddenly there was a name in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like Danzig.
Which there, I've actually read through all the...
Danzig would sue.
Yeah. All right. So, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is still awesome. Everybody should be watching it. I don't know why you're not. Space Patrol Luluco.
Okay, so something weird happened with Space Patrol Luluco. Don't get me wrong. The show is still completely adorable and everything like that.
I love Luluco, man.
But episode 4 came out.
I didn't watch episode 4 yet.
And the opening title card is season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
This is episode 4, and then season 2, episode 1. Granted, okay, Hiroyuki Imashi is the director on it, and we all know his game. It's also Studio Trigger as a whole in the studio, and it's like, oh, you know what you're getting out of it. It's kind of like, okay, you gotta be in like a Monty Python mindset in order to watch anything Studio Trigger puts out.
Yeah.
Which is contradictory to what I'm gonna talk about next, which I think should be Kiznaiver. But Space Patrol Luluco is moving so fast in its story because they're legitimately trying to get out maybe the feeling of 52 episodes in 13 episodes. And I think they're doing that on purpose. And every episode is only 7 minutes long. I'm pretty sure they're doing this whole thing on purpose.
Yeah.
And they're trolling us with it. But the series is so cute. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I had to rip the first episode of Space Patrol Luluco so I could have it in my own personal collection. Because, like, that first episode is so brilliantly done.
Yeah.
That I just had to have it. So I do. I have it.
Good. I like Luluco. It doesn't take any time to watch at all, so everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
Hiroyuki Imashi. That's all I gotta say. He's a legend if anybody wants to watch his stuff.
So, it's not the next one on your... Kiznaiver is not the next one on your list, but it is Trigger. Do you want to talk about Kiznaiver?
Yeah.
Because I actually have not started watching it yet.
Okay, so I watched Kiznaiver, and I love it. I totally love it, because it's completely different from any Studio Trigger show that we've ever seen before. Any original Studio Trigger show that we've seen. Because... unlike every other show in the past that's been done by Trigger, it's ridiculous, over-the-top action that's complete nonsense and everything.
Speaking of non-originals, Sentai Filmworks...
Is releasing Supernatural Battles Become Commonplace.
Finally!
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that show forever.
But this one, Kiznaiver, is the first original Studio Trigger show that is character-based and not action-based, which threw me off in the first episode. I was like, cool, it's about everybody sharing their pain, they're going to have to go fight things... like, they're going to become, like, one unit superhero.
Yep.
That's what I thought the show was going to be about, but it's not. It's about the characters growing together emotionally. Like, it's still supernatural in the sense that they live in this huge facility and somebody did science experiments on all of them in order for them to work together, and they have to solve stuff and they have to learn secrets about each other in order to not cause pain. But that's the whole thing, is that this is completely 100% character and emotion-based. I didn't know that going into it. I'm happy I didn't, because it caught me so off guard.
It's not going to catch me off guard now, though.
Yeah, but even still...
or anybody listening.
But even still, in episode 2, it takes up until episode 2 to completely fall in love with the show.
Yeah.
And everybody should give it a shot, because if you don't like Studio Trigger, this one's completely different.
And you're wrong.
And you're wrong, yeah.
Because clearly. Studio Trigger's awesome.
But in my case, it's going all out. And it's still making Studio Trigger the best studio ever, because they're showing their diversity now.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. I know, I gotta get on that. And I will, I just have...
Originally, I didn't like the main character, because I only saw the first episode beforehand, and I didn't like the main character in it. But now I've seen up to episode... I think episode 3's out? Or episode 4?
Episode 3.
Yeah. Episode 3, I just watched episode 3 today, and the main character has a purpose. Like, a serious purpose.
Nice.
And I can't wait to watch the rest of it.
Next up on the list?
Terraformers. Terraformers is still a piece of garbage now, unfortunately. I'm gonna say that only Terraformers Season 1 exists. Terraformers Revenge does not exist.
Read the manga. Just read the manga. Do yourself a favor and just read the manga, because Season 1 was brilliant, and it wasn't the manga, and they skipped over a lot of really important stuff, but it was still just amazing.
However, I'm gonna talk about this, though. There's a reason why they have kind of thrown the cockroaches to the side as the enemies. It's because they no longer are. It's because in episode 2, you find out that there's a betrayal amongst of them. And now it's a fight between the humans, which is stupid. That's in the original series, and even still, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't
like that. They should have kept it to save the Earth, but now they're not. Now they're all fighting amongst each other in tribes, because there's like, oh, there's a betrayer and all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
And now they're using all their bug powers against each other instead of fighting the insects, which is, like, stupid.
I'm going to have to read the manga to see how they do it in there, because it's probably done a lot better.
Yeah, the only reason why this whole series didn't end with Season 1, because they got all the samples that they needed in order to create a cure for Earth. And now in Season 2, the only reason why they're still there and fighting amongst each other is because on Earth, there are also moles who are betraying that are delaying the rescue ships so that the betrayers can fight amongst each other. It doesn't make any sense. Why would that happen? Like, why would they do that? Why would somebody give away, like, there's 12 people in the betraying tribe.
Uh-huh.
or I keep calling them tribes, but it's really their crews. In the betraying crew, there's like 12 people. What are they going to do? Stay on Mars and just terraform Mars, like, and become, like...
Stay with the cockroaches.
And then they truly do become tribes at that point. Doesn't make any sense. Just go back to Earth, cure it, and everything's fine. What are you doing, terraformers?
Again, I have to read the manga to find out. It's probably done a lot smoother. I don't know. It could be awful in the manga, too, but I doubt it, because I just love the first season so much. You actually have a couple on here, shows on here that are missing. Because a show that we watched, we both seen, is Flying Witch.
It's not on there?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Flying Witch is not on there.
Flying Witch is great.
Flying Witch is really amazing. I actually have a couple shows that I watched as well that are not on here.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, Flying Witch. So it's this cute slice of life where it's very calm. It is a comedy, but it's not rowdy and it's not annoying or messy. It's very chill.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing.
Relaxing is the word that I used. You watch it and you feel relaxed.
The jokes are really well paced and very somber. And it's nice. It's really nice. And the characters are cute, and it's done in a more realistic style of animation and anime. It's not like a cutesy, like, bubbly, chibi character slice of life like you're used to. It's just a normal, like, very rural town. It's very out in the sticks.
Yeah, and it's not a secret either about the main character being a witch. She's like, oh, I'm a witch. And then, like, the first thing that she does is take the 9-year-old girl out shopping, and she buys a broom, and then suddenly she's floating in the air. It's like, yeah, this is a nice broom.
Did you watch episode 2?
I watched episode 2 with the Springbringer.
Yes, the Spring Spirit. Yeah. And how he just completely freaks out the
Harbinger. Well, the Harbinger of Spring is horrifying.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny, because he's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Like, you how really... he apologized to the girl. It's like, please just apologize to the girl for scaring you. And then he, like, makes the spring flowers for her because he didn't want her to be afraid. And he's like, oh, will I get to see him again? You know, the
yeah,
little girl
spring.
Says, will I get to see him again next spring?
And
it's
there's
cute.
And there's so many characters that still need to be introduced,
yeah,
as well. And there's, I don't know. It looks like a really cool cast of characters, and I'm really interested in watching those.
After 800 yards, take the exit right.
I really highly recommend watching Flying Witch. I really like it. It's not going to be the greatest show you've ever seen, but I definitely watch it over other shows.
Really good. Really good way to turn down on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, it's so good.
Take the exit right.
Next up, Ace Attorney, which you watched. I did not watch.
I did. Okay, here's the only thing that I'm going to say about Ace Attorney. I didn't really enjoy it the first time I saw it, because it was mainly a court case and it didn't go over very well. Gerardo had messaged me and said, well, it's because it's like the tutorial of the game. Like, they're legitimately following the game. Now, the thing I like about the show is not the court cases. This show would be amazing if they cut out the court cases altogether and just left it as a detective drama, maybe. And I'm sure that it works better as a game, because the game mechanics in it don't work as a mechanic in a show. And the thing about the show is that everything outside the court cases is actually really good. It's dramatic. It's kind of heavy. The mystery is there. And it's great. Get into the court case, not so great anymore.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep watching it, but only because I like the outside stuff of the court cases.
The Lost Village.
Okay, so The Lost Village is the one that was like, the one I saw the first episode, it was really creepy. And that creep factor stays throughout the entirety of the show. It's a mystery, it's dark, it's creepy. There's a creature following them in some way. And they don't know what's going on in the town. They're still trying to figure out where people are. The second episode happened and the first dead person showed up. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So...
Like, the main cast? Like, they're killing the main cast?
Yes. Well, there's like 24 people in the main cast.
Right, but
so,
still.
But yeah, you learn a little bit about everybody in the cast, and then they start to kill them off. And I don't want to say anything about spoiling it, but it's really funny when you follow American media about horror movies.
Really?
If anybody knows American horror movie media, then you'll be able to figure out who the first person to die is when you watch the
oh geez
first episode. Or the second episode, rather.
I'm going to switch to a show that I watched.
Okay.
I watched Sencha Senyu, which is a Funimation show this season. It's another slice of life comedy about three high school girls. One is a demon child who's the student representative. One is a rich girl whose family or father went bankrupt, so now she's poor. And the other is like a sporty loudmouth chick.
When what connects them all together?
So the student representative and the loudmouth chick are friends already.
Okay.
And the rich girl, she is eating lunch by herself and she's hiding away because she's eating bread crust and she's really embarrassed. So, and then these friends stumble upon her and then that's, they just kind of start having lunch together and then they become friends. And the animation quality in the first episode was really high, incredibly high, almost to the point of being distracting.
Yeah.
And then it kind of slows down a little bit, but the animation budget is still really good. It's all, this is another anime about reactions. So like something is said and a character reacts.
Yeah.
That is always,
that was one of my most favorite things about Nozaki-kun.
Yes.
Was the reaction.
So, so that's what this kind of is they have really funny reactions and the facial expressions that are drawn for each character are really good. They're perfect for each time and it makes it really cute and kind of extra cute. So it's good. I recommend it. So that's Sencha Senyu.
Yeah. Well, do we want to talk about another school show then, which is kind of similar in a sense, which would be Netoge?
It's actually really not similar at all. I kind of consider Netoge to be, and the English title to it is I Thought There Were No Girls Online.
Right.
And it's about a group of people who, well, first, I don't want to spoil any of it.
It's about this guy who plays online games, and he makes no connections with people because he has a fatal flaw that he confessed his love to somebody online, a girl online, and it turned out to be a guy.
Yeah.
And so,
but it was only in the game. He wasn't, like, really confessing his real-life love to this person.
Yeah, he wanted confessing his love to
the
game.
Yeah, the in-game marriage.
And so he finds out that the party that he's in, all of them are girls. It becomes this harem.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's not there yet.
It's reminiscent of Boku wa Tomodachi ga
Haganai. See, that's what, yeah. See, Haganai, this is like a spiritual successor to Haganai, which is really interesting and what really got me into it. Plus, it's really funny. And the art is done by
Hisashi. Anybody who doesn't know who Hisashi is, he is a hentai artist.
Yes.
And every character in the show follows that. He's actually my favorite hentai artist, I'll admit. But he follows all the character designs, and it looked like his work, and it's gorgeous. It's totally gorgeous. He has really high-quality work. And I found out that he actually did the manga, too.
Which is weird. Like, I wouldn't expect somebody who's just, like, spending day in and day out their life on doujins and hentai mangas and whatever and all
to
that.
To sit down and write a regular book?
Yeah, to sit down and write a regular book. Which is usually, that's how artists, like, get big, is they get bigger work.
Yeah.
But generally, not all of them make it out into, like, the big
Hisashi has this weird character design where he accentuates the bottom lip.
Yeah.
Where he puts the shine on the female's bottom lip, which, you know, I guess is, like, a sexy thing.
I don't know.
To him. But it turns out weird in the animation. Like, it works maybe in his manga, but in the animation it's really weird because characters make this face. Like, the student body president for this show, like, every time she smiles, she's got a weird face. Her face is big, like, huge.
Right turn ahead.
I don't know how to describe it, but there are some really weird shots.
Yeah.
Because her body proportions are really off because of how big her body is. Anyways, the show's really funny. I like it. And the art is really good. Like, this one I'll keep watching specifically for the art factor.
Next up, we have My Hero Academia.
Oh, My Hero Academia.
Which is a Toho animation. So,
by Bones.
It is?
It's Studio Bones.
It's kind of like following off of One Punch Man type. Like, where they're like, oh, superhero anime, okay.
Love My Hero Academia.
Yeah, it's another shonen.
Yeah, and it's about a kid who has no superpowers, who wants to...
In a world of where everybody has superpowers.
80% of people are born with superpowers. Well, they're called quirks.
Yeah, quirks.
And depending on the quirk you get, you can become a superhero. This kid is in the 20 percentile of the world who does not have superpowers, but he wants to be a hero. So he strives to become a hero. The only problem that I have with the show is awesome, it's really good. I'm going to keep watching it until the very end, even if it's like hundreds of episodes.
Heck yeah.
And
I was hoping that
That it would be?
No, that Soma would be. You know, Food Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was hoping that that would just keep...
Here's the thing. The main character I have a problem with, because he cries at every step.
It's, so much.
If, like literally, he's afraid of everything. He cries, which somebody who strives in their life to be a hero probably shouldn't do that in a good character design. He should be like, you know, even though he doesn't have any quirks, he should be like, no, I'm a hero. And he puffs out his chest and he stands up and he gets beaten up anyways.
Yeah, be manly. Be Kenshiro. Every you should want to strive to be Enchiro.
Yeah, but I don't know. I find it weird that he's like oh, I want to be a hero. Like, yeah. something's weird about that. And it's a fatal character flaw for me. It could work for other people. But I think that somebody who legitimately strives to be a real-life superhero should act like a real-life superhero at all times.
All right, you have a couple more on this list, but I think we should cut it down.
We're almost there.
Yeah, we're to our destination, which is ironic. I want to talk about Iron Fortress some more.
Okay.
Because Iron Fortress, the first episode was out of
After
this world.
800 yards, turn right, like, then ahead, keep right.
I thought it was amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
I didn't. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was amazing.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
What do you mean you had no idea what was going on? Well, it's not that difficult.
Well, I mean, it's not that I had no idea what was going on. I understood what was going on, but it was just like, well, this is just a convoluted mess. The way that they told the story was came across as a convoluted mess to me.
I totally disagree. Yeah, no, I got what the story was doing, and every single story point was in it. But it's also weird, the reason why they do it, the pacing, the way they're doing it, is because it's a bi-weekly anime.
Yeah, it's only going to be like 6 episodes in the entire season. Yeah. But the animation quality is super high. Here's the weird thing about it, though. The character designs in the show are reminiscent of late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, and the animation quality of like the backgrounds and the characters...
Turn right, then ahead, keep right.
...is movie quality animation.
The scale
like
is
cinema.
Huge.
Yeah, cinema quality animation. Like Studio Ghibli backgrounds and steampunk and everything that you see.
Studio Ghibli was the thing that actually came to mind. Was
keep right.
Because it was like the world was the scale of like Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Huge. So much detail.
Yeah, it was great.
I recommend it still, even though I didn't.
Oh no, I highly recommend it. I think it's amazing. Even like people on our network, Trench and Trench was the one who was just like, "Guys, are you watching this? You got to be watching this. What is watching?" So we did, and it was amazing. Thank you, Trench. I was gonna eventually make my way to it anyway because it was Studio Wit, and I want to see what they have. You know?
Yeah.
And I think finally to finish off this discussion, tell us really quick about ReZero. Because I don't know anything about that, but Peter Payne at J-List is just
so
like...
He says that it's the best of the season, and I kind of agree with him. ReZero is like a Konosuba sort of thing, where the shut-in guy from the real world gets just magically transferred into, like, unannounced, just suddenly...
Man, they are doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there's like 1,000 shows now that they do that.
The funny thing is, I was thinking that we could make our own category for this year's wikis of just real world people being transferred into this fantasy lands. But anyways, yeah, he gets transferred into this fantasy land, and then suddenly it becomes... It's a mix. The anime is a mix between Konosuba and All You Need Is Kill.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to leave it at that. I highly recommend it. The animation quality is superb. The character writing is also superb. And Peter Payne of J-List recommended it as his best anime of the season, and I tend to agree with him.
Wow.
I actually don't think it's the best anime of the season, but it is very close.
Well...
What else was on the list, just so I know?
Wagamama High Spec.
Yeah, okay. And... Oh, okay, Wagamama High Spec is a really 3-minute short anime advertising an adult visual novel that will be coming out at the end of April.
An adult visual novel?
Yeah.
Wow. And Twin Stars Exorcist.
Okay, screw that one.
Yeah. There you have it. So we actually did all the fan service during the show. All the fan service that you guys sent us, we already discussed.
The only other thing that I can think of is we could drop an advertisement for the Nerdy Show Patreon.
Yep.
If you want to hear this episode early, if you're not paying there, also you can, if you pay $10 or more, you can get a shout out on the show. Like our self-proclaimed number one fan, Allison, she's always declaring that. But she does that, and she can get a shout-out every
month. Send us a shout-out, Allison.
Yeah,
Send us your shout-out for the month.
Well, she was the first to ever recommend a show outside of a Nerdy Show, and we were, like, super honored by that because she chose our show.
Yeah.
But you can do that by going to Patreon or nerdyshow.com/Patreon or patreon.com/nerdyshow. Either one will get you there, and you can throw in some money and help support the network and help us support ourselves and support our life decisions.
Actually, another way to support the network as well, though, which is we're having a huge drive and a huge push for this,
yeah,
is iTunes. So if you guys listen to the Wicked Anime Podcast on iTunes, even if you don't, go to iTunes and you can rate every single kind of Nerdy Show on there, including the network as a whole. Shoot us a 5 stars, and you can type out a review if you like. But the more 5 stars we get, the more push to the top of the list of everything that you see on iTunes we will get.
And we don't have any yet, but we will read your review for you.
Yeah, so if you...
Because we appreciate it so much.
So, we will read your review that you write for us on the show here. And we love doing that, because we love seeing the reviews, that we want to know what you guys think. Even all you silent fans out there, like, we know you exist. We get... like little messages from you guys every once in a while.
Yeah. For more info on that, go to nerdyshow.com/spread the word. I will put it in the description.
Yes. But for everything else, we have, if you guys wanted to join in the discussion, tell us what you're watching. Tell us what you think of some of the shows. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you agree with some of the decisions we made about the shows this week. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews.
400 yards, bear right, then turn right.
All one word. @gmail.com. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our podcast and our videos if you're not watching the videos on YouTube. If you're not listening to the podcast already, on nerdyshow.com, where you can also listen to us on, obviously, iTunes.
Turn right.
And SoundCloud. So that's soundcloud-wickedanime. You can also find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find the main hub of Wicked Anime, which are our videos, which are our Anime Boston videos are still kind of squeaking out.
Yeah, we got more Anime Boston videos on the way.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We also have our Facebook page. You can chat with us at facebook.com/wickedanime. Post news articles and cool things we find around the internet. You can also find us at twitter.com, which we just mentioned on our show. We tweeted with a bunch of fans and had lots of conversations while I was at work, and I was probably not supposed to be doing that. But anyway, that's you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. You can also find us at Tumblr, where we tumble things. And that is wickedanime.tumblr.com. I think that's it. I think I said everything. You guys know. You guys know this feel. You guys heard it before. Believe it or not, we have literally just pulled into our destination. So that's it for this week of Wicked Anime.
Yeah, you listen to us from Massachusetts all the way to New Hampshire.
And you will probably hear about Baby Metal next episode, which is going to be really exciting. So now it's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye! Kids listen to Fall Out Boy over there.
Huh.
Sorry, I'm just distracted by the pedestrians.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.